Welcome back to A Fresh Story, the podcast where we have conversations about brave decisions to start over again. I'm Jenny.
And I'm Olivia, and we're so glad you're here today. Back with our bestie here, Rachel Sobel, and it happens to be on a day that Instagram and Facebook are down, so we're just trapped here on this little island on Riverside.
Like, I like to say, talking over a fire,
the Riverside. We're at the Riverside with Rachel, and so what we're going to talk about today is something I've been thinking about a lot. So I have not dated since my divorce. I'm very open about the fact, and I know Rachel is too, that there's a lot of healing that comes after divorce. And we have an amazing expert at A Fresh Start, Dr. Susan Trotter, who's a relationship coach. And she kind of said to me, Olivia, this is the year. You need to figure this out. And so I said, okay, Susan, I will take your advice. And so I, I'm trying to figure all this stuff out. And I know it's a lot. So we have the expert here, Rachel, who you have a journey in this. Jenny, I can hear you typing, just so you know.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
How dare you, Jenny?
No, I don't mind you typing. Just mute.
No, sorry. I thought I muted myself.
You have a very distinct typing pattern.
It's a loud keyboard.
It is a loud keyboard. So Rachel is our expert here. Actually, Rachel, and I say this a lot, you were the first, I think, divorced friend, quote unquote, internet friend I had who was divorced. And I remember back 5 years ago when I was going through this long time ago, and you were like, you're going to get through this. It's going to be fine. But there's so many steps to this process, right? So you go through the divorce and then you're healing and then bringing somebody else into the picture. I'm going to be honest with you, Rachel. It feels so scary to me. So I would love if you could just like kind of, and I know we've gone through your divorce journey. So if anybody wants to hear that, you can go back and listen to Rachel's other episode of A Fresh Story. But if you want to like pick up kind of where, I guess, like Jason came into your life and how you navigated all of that, because there's a lot of women who are listening to this.
I guess Jason came into your life. I think she was going to say she's going to be, oh, you cut off for a second.
My internet. It's like that kind of a day. What the fuck?
The world's going crazy right now.
And Jenny is typing.
Oh, my God. Okay. Thank God it's Rachel here. Not
so you were saying, by the way, that was one time I didn't know where your thought was going. I was like, really? I can't finish this. I guess that Jason came in, you were saying.
Jason came in, and I would love to hear kind of picking up the story from where he came in, right? So how did you navigate that process? And really, with your daughter, and there are so many people that listen to this that are in the situation that I'm in that are like either newly divorced or considering it. It feels really sad and scary to be like, am I ever going to be able to love again? And how do I integrate this person? So I'm going to just hand this over to you. Please help me, Rachel. SOS, SOS.
So I want to say, first of all, that like, it's interesting. Every time I talk about finding Jason and us meeting, all that stuff, I always have those few people, and this happens with any time you post on social media, I always have those few people who are like, well, why do you feel like you had to meet someone? Like, why did you have to date? And the truth is, you don't. And I wasn't sure that I would find someone. I didn't go into dating thinking I have to find a husband. Yeah. I looked at it as I hit the kid jackpot. I have the best daughter in the world. And if I meet someone who can love her the way that I'm comfortable with and come into the fold of my life and it's easy, then great. And if I don't, then I'll just be with her the rest of my life. And I was genuinely okay with that.
Yeah.
When I met Jason, it was post-divorce rebound, which I feel very strongly that every person should have, because speaking from personal experience, I was broken when I was coming out of my divorce, right? And we talk about that a lot. I had no self-esteem. I felt unlovable. I felt ugly. I felt undesirable. Like all those, that negative talk that you have in your head. I felt all of that. Mm-hmm. Had I met Jason at that point, I would not have been a healthy partner. I would have been like constantly needing reassurance and constantly needing validation and like all these things that make you needy and annoying and all those things.
Yeah.
I had a textbook post-divorce rebound. It was physical. I tricked myself thinking there was something more to that because I've always been a relationship girl. I've never had a one-night stand.
Like,
I've never done any of that. So I tricked myself into thinking this could be something. It wasn't going to be anything, like ever. It was never, this was never going to be my person. But I got my mojo back and I got I was walking with a spring in my step. And I kind of, it's like, I don't know, I was with my ex for 18 years and another man had never seen me naked. And I was like, I can't do this. I don't want to buy matching bras and underwear and like all those things and shave my legs and like, you know, all those things that you kind of get into a comfortable pattern when you're in like a sexless marriage with no intimacy and you're like, you don't even think about it. Yeah. I was not there mentally. So I needed to get that rebound out. And I feel like it really does make you feel like a new person because you're like, oh, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And it's the reason I liked it too, is because you don't have to have an emotional connection if you choose not to. And you don't have to look at that person as someone who's going to be in your life with your kids. It's just for you. Yeah. I think had I not had that experience, I would not have been ready for Jason. So when I met Jason, I was looking at dating through a completely different lens. I knew that anyone I had a serious relationship with was going to be in my daughter's life.
Right.
I felt very strongly about him not meeting her right away. My daughter did not meet anyone that I dated, that I went on one date or 10, didn't matter. She met Jason about 3 months in, and it was actually my mom, because we were having, it was one of the Jewish holidays coming. I don't even remember. I'm trying to think what time of year it was. And my mom was like, this is ridiculous. You guys have been dating for 3 months. You know that you've already told me you're going to marry him. Serious, like you guys are going to have a future.
Yeah.
It's time to pull off the Band-Aid, and why don't you just bring him to whatever, I don't know, whatever holiday it was. Mm-hmm. And that way it's not just like the three of you sitting awkwardly at a table. Like, by that point, my parents had met him. My friends all knew him.
Oh, interesting.
My daughter was the only one who hadn't met him yet.
Okay.
So that was like the best thing I could have done, because it wasn't like him walking to a room with a bunch of people meeting him for the first time. There was already some comfort there.
Yeah.
And he was introduced as my friend. We didn't use the word boyfriend. Okay. We were just like, this is mommy's friend. And she was four, so she didn't know.
Yeah.
And he was very sweet with her and very engaging with her. And I think that when you're dating someone as a single parent, you have to set the expectation for what you want. And for everyone, it's different.
Yeah.
For me, it was important that my daughter feel stability, feel seen, feel like she was part of us. And it wasn't like, it was kind of like a little trio and not just, you know, like we were always going to have our relationship separate, but I was a package deal and I needed him to honor that. And he did from the beginning.
How did you address that with him? Right. So how did you set those boundaries with him early on?
So from the moment that we met and we felt at ease and comfortable with each other,
I'm sorry, you met, just remind me, how did you meet?
We met on Match.
On Match. Okay.
Right.
We met
but
on
back
Match.
When it was like a web app. Like
so not- it was a dating app, in the interest of full disclosure, we met on Match, but we quickly realized that we had a lot of mutual friends because, you know, Jewish people in South Florida. But we went to University of Florida at the same exact time.
Okay.
I placed myself in his apartment with my ex-husband, ex-boyfriend at the time. I mean, like there's all these times we should have met. And we've never laid eyes on each other. So the universe has a weird way
invisible
of doing
invisible strength theory,
very purposeful. But he, from the beginning, when we started talking, I was very honest, like probably a little too honest. Like I shared text conversations I was having at the time with my ex-husband. I shared screenshots of like, you know, legal shit happening. Like I just wanted him to know what he was walking into because I never wanted to feel like anything was off the table to discuss with him. And then when it came to my daughter, I made it very clear that she is my number one. Every woman is different. And there's no right or wrong way to do it, but I am very much my kids are always going to come first.
Me too.
Before my partner. They just are. Some people think that that's terrible and your relationship should come first. And that's okay too. I am a mother first. Mm-hmm. And I think that became even more strong when I got divorced. I was like, this kid is going to get the first right of refusal for everything. Like she is everything. So I needed him to know that's how I was operating. And I explained it to him. And, you know, there was a learning curve in the beginning, but he was always very open to me taking the lead and me setting the tone and me telling him what I needed from him. He was very gracious about that and really good. I don't know what would have happened if he had kids too. Like how I think it was very easy because I was the one with a child and we didn't have to navigate two exes, two co-parenting schedules, all that stuff.
Right.
But I think it really just boiled down to honesty and communication. I told him my expectations. I told him how I wanted it to be. And I also gave him an out in the beginning. I was like, if this is too much for you and you can't do this. I will not, you know, like I understand it's a lot, but this is my life. And so you can either fit into it and find your place, or you can tell me it's too much for you and we'll figure it out. But it was all about just being very transparent.
I mean, it sounds like he's the kind of guy that if there had been kids and an ex-wife on his side, you also would have figured it out, because the things that you're describing in Jason, and I look to you as somebody that's been married for a while and like still's really like into her husband, and there's still a lot of intimacy there and a lot of excitement. And, you know, I am now married and I look at it and I'm like, yes, like it can be like that. Like it doesn't, it, like,
it's and true. We talk about Rachel and Jason a lot.
We do.
Here.
Like, it can be like that. Yes. And so it sounds like he's like I think about it with my partner. You can't say the wrong thing to the right person. I really do believe that. 100%. And I ran into Thomas is the way I would put it. Like emotionally ran into him, did not expect it to become anything. A week out from a broken engagement, I was like moving my stuff out of my exes and texting him and telling him what was going on and giving him like letting him know how I was. And it was the same thing where it was like, here's everything. Like here's everything from the start. And I think that if it's that person that's going to understand and be gracious and understand the redirection of, oh, that's not how he talked to her. That's not how we do things here. They're going to be like that. Maybe there would have been more complications. Maybe there would have been more conversations, but like, he was going to be Jason no matter what, right?
100%. Yeah. I agree. And I think that when you come out of a divorce specifically, but also with big breakups, like you were on the verge of getting married, right?
So I tried so many times.
Right. So it's not a divorce, but it is that you were leaving a big commitment. It wasn't like, you know, a 17-year-old relationship.
No. It's 10-year relationship. Yeah.
I think when you come out of a divorce, particularly with children, I think that your entire perspective shifts, because if you took time to kind of get to know yourself a little bit, whether you were dating or not, you start to see all the red flags you should have seen, right? Yeah, you start to see all the things that you allowed yourself to endure, that if they happened to you in present time, you would be like, absolutely not. It's much easier to see those things in retrospect. And I think that the biggest expectation I put on Jason as a whole that he was more than happy to fulfill was that there are going to be times in my life that are going to get crazy, because when you are divorced from someone that you have an 18-year history with, there's bound to be triggers. There's bound to be pushing each other's buttons. Like it's just impossible for it not to be, right? Yeah. At some point, someone's going to get pissed off and there's going to be acrimony. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I made it very clear that I needed him to be my rock. I couldn't have craziness from an ex and then have my current boyfriend or husband be adding to that. I needed him to like talk me off the ledge. I needed him to be that safe space. And he took on that role in a way that I don't even think I could have taken it on if the tables were turned, to be perfectly honest with you. Mm-hmm. He's just calm and level-headed and very patient. And he loves me. Like that man fucking loves me. Mm-hmm. And I have never felt that level of love. I have never felt so seen the way he makes me feel seen. And I know that sounds so like a buzzword and cliche, but like you were saying before, to be into your husband, Jason and I will be married 9 years in April. Okay. Mm-hmm. We are still like newlyweds. And I know that pisses people off. They're like, oh, good for you. But you know what? I made that choice because I didn't want to be how I was.
You can choose that. You can find that. I like people act like it's inevitable. I had so many conversations with my ex where he'd be like, you know, the honeymoon phase just ends. And I'd be like, but does it? It's not. I'm happy to not let it end. Like, I don't want it to end. So why does it have to end? And there are so many women and men in unhappy relationships that are like, you know, I hate my husband basically, but like, he's my husband. It doesn't have to be like that. You can like your partner. You can 100%. Love them.
And not only, listen, and I want to be careful about this, because there are some people who are genuinely okay not having a sex life.
Cheers.
And that's
to them.
Okay.
Yep. Right.
That is totally okay. What I don't want to happen though, and that I see it happening all the time, and it definitely makes me cringe, is that we are all, not we, but like in general, society supports this trope of women. Oh, my husband emptied the dishwasher. He's getting sex tonight. Mm-hmm. And listen, I've made jokes like that too. I'm not innocent of it. Yeah.
Right.
I think that we support this trope that once you get married, there's an expectation that sex falls off the table.
Yeah.
That being said, of course it's hard when you have kids because you're exhausted and priorities shift, but it doesn't mean that you can't bring it back around. And I think that if you are someone that sex is a priority for you, you feel those moments where you are like ragey and angry and frustrated, and you know that sex needs to happen. Like, you know that there's a disconnect between you and your partner, where if you find that time to connect, because it's not just about the sex, it's the physical intimacy and the trust and the vulnerability.
Right.
And I have never in my life felt so safe physically in an intimate relationship as I do with my husband. And I think that's why I want to do it, because it's not a chore. It's not like, oh, let's have sex tonight. Like, it's not like that. And it shouldn't be like that.
Well, they also say like the seduction starts so much further, like so much earlier than the bedroom, right? And I think that what people, a lot of people don't understand is like, if you're doing it in a certain way, not doing it, but like if you're in a relationship in a certain way, like the seduction should be kind of constant, and that can change when you have kids or when things are stressful. That changes what that looks like, and it might not be, but like, I think a lot of people, it's the connection constantly. You're like finding all these ways to love each other throughout the day, so that when you get to the bedroom, it's not like starting from zero and then you're like, okay, I guess I gotta like mentally get it up for you now.
It's
and
so true. So true. It's true. Not only is that true, and I, back to what I said before about like the jokes about, oh, my husband loaded the dishwasher. Let me be very clear. Like, even though I hate the whole love languages thing, my love language, one of them, biggest one, is definitely acts of service. 100% without question from my partner. When Jason handles shit, like, I had a major car accident, major. Mm-hmm. My car was totaled. My daughter and I were taken to the hospital by ambulance. And it was absolutely one of the most terrifying things. I've never been in an accident with a child.
Yeah.
Myself a couple of times, but never with a child. And it was terrible.
Yeah.
He just swooped right in. And like from the time that accident happened, he didn't even, he left work, didn't even tell his bosses. He left work. He got there. He handled stuff. He called insurance. He did everything. And I know to some people that may seem like, well, of course he did. I didn't have that.
Right.
The first half of my life. So to see a partner who just takes control and handles shit, did I want to have sex with him immediately? No, I was in a hospital. But like, did I forget that moment where I felt so taken care of
and loved,
graciously repaid him for that? Of course I did. Because I do feel like there is some inspiration that is taken from how you are treated by your partner emotionally, physically, financially, like all those things. When my partner steps in and just takes care of business, it is a major turn on for me. Major. Yeah. And I'm, you know, yes, there's can be jokes made about it, but I do think that is a way to connect where you feel taken care of.
Well, it's not just a turn on, but like he's actively making your life easier.
Yep.
Right. So like you're not as tired, right, as like a solo mom. And we talk a lot about, like, I've talked a lot about being a married single mom. Right. Mm-hmm. And like the married single mom thing is real. Right. You are literally taking care of everything in your life alone. And then why in God's name would you want to go give that man a blowjob later? Right. It's like you're
from what energy well, too. Right. From where?
Right. Yeah.
I had a conversation with my friend Pete a long time ago, who I'm not sure if he's still on Instagram, but it's at Pete Cataldo. And we had a podcast very briefly together about, you know, just the whole parenting shtick and from the man perspective, the female perspective, all that stuff. And I remember he said something and it stuck with me to this day. And this was almost 10 years ago. He said, if, you know, whether it's right after a baby or when your kids are older, whatever, when you're in the parenting trenches and one partner is like raring to go sexually and the other one is like, I can't do it, the one who's raring to go has not put in enough time with the kids.
Yeah.
You know, the one who's raring to go clearly is letting the other person be the default parent way too often. And so they are tired, touched out, not interested. And I think when you level the playing field a little bit more, there's always going to be, I'm always going to be the default parent. I work from home. I pick up my kids from school. I take them to activities. Mm-hmm. That's always going to happen. But he is constantly looking for ways where he can make my life easier. And we communicate about what I do need from him. And there are times where he fucks up and I fuck up. It's just marriage. It is what it is. And it's certainly not perfect, but I have a solid partner who has my back 150% all the time. And that is sexy as hell.
Yeah. So what's his background? Like, was he raised by parents with domestic equity? How did he know how to do all
this? Has he gone to a lot of therapy? Yeah. I
mean, they're all in therapy. I think his family and my family, very different, like in so many ways, parenting-wise, relationship-wise, sibling-wise, very different. Mm-hmm. I think Jason is who he is because he graduated college and instead of going home, like a lot of people do, he stayed in Florida. He's a New Yorker. He's from Long Island.
Oh, well, there you go.
East Meadow, born and raised, the Meadow Ghetto.
Okay.
And that's where our grandfather's medical practice was, East Meadow. Well,
someone probably went to him.
See, small world.
He went to school in Florida and never wanted to go back to the cold. So I think because he became independent a lot earlier than a lot of kids probably do, right? Yeah. A lot of kids do go home and live with their parents for a little bit, save some money, figure it
out.
Especially men. I think because he started his life a little bit earlier than other people, his peers, I think he developed his own personality, his own unique way of doing things. I think that he saw his friends getting married and was around his friends' parents and how they all parented and all that stuff. And I think it made him the person that he is. I think that it really infused him with a different flavor than the rest of his family has, if that makes sense.
Are you his first marriage?
No.
That makes sense.
Jason was married. Jason was married before. And they did not have kids and it was a brief marriage. And I think that's another reason why it worked. When we met and we both had come from failed marriages and we had those conversations, we were very quick to like put out there what is the most important to you besides like all the stuff like trust and sense of humor and being sexually attracted to each other and chemistry and all these things. What is the most important? And both of us, without even discussing it, it was that we wanted to be completely unequivocally, unfiltered in front of each other, be able to say anything without judgment, without being pissed off at each other. And that's the way our relationship has been from day one. And it has not changed.
And how old were you guys when you got together? I'm always curious about this too.
So I was 37, 36, late 36, 37, something like that.
And he was about the same.
And we got married in 2015. Both of our divorces were final on paper in 2013, but we were both separated before that. So, you know, it wasn't like he wasn't the first person I dated. He wasn't, I didn't date many people, but he, you know, he was the only serious relationship that I had post-divorce. Right.
So how did you integrate him into your life with your daughter in a way that was
so once he met my older daughter, once he met Ava, I would include him it was no longer him and I going to dinner on a Saturday night, right? On the weekends that I had my daughter, I would bring him into the fold saying, we're going to go have pizza. Do you want to come with us? And I just made him, not all the time, because it was still important to me to have that relationship with her, just her and I. I didn't want her to feel like now there was someone else coming into our lives and we were never going to have time together. I was so hypersensitive to that. She was my only baby. She was it. So he would start to join us for stuff. And I would say to her like, oh, is it okay if mommy's friend Jason comes? And she would like, yes. And he would give her so much attention that I think she loved it too. And it was fun for her to, I think, to be in a dynamic where there was a mommy and a man, right? You know, like she never looked at him as, oh, this is a replacement person, because he wasn't. But I think it was fun for her. She was so young when we got divorced that she still to this day says she doesn't have memories of us together. She was two when we physically separated. So she, other than pictures and videos and things like that, she does not have the muscle memory of being together with her parents. So I actually think it was a good thing for me because there wasn't that he's not my dad. He's not, no one was trying to make him her father. It was just another person to love her, introduced into her life. So once we started with that stuff, and then he started coming to every holiday, every family holiday and all those things, birthday parties, like all that stuff. Although in the beginning, the birthday party stuff was hairy because he was not allowed to come to birthday parties. You know, and I think that's stuff when you're a co-parent too, that you have to navigate with the co-parent, because when you introduce a new person, and especially if that person doesn't have a person, it can get awkward and weird. And again, there's no right or wrong way. Everyone just has to figure it out and do it in the most respectful way to them possible. And that's what I tried to do every step of the way.
You know, we have a stepdad who was our stepfather since I was 7, Olivia was 9, and our brother was 4. And our brother does not remember life before our stepdad. And I don't think he really remembers our parents being together. But I remember my mom was happy. And, you know, our parents had a, they had an okay relationship, and then they had a not great divorce, and then they've had a wonderful divorce since then. But I don't really remember them ever being like happy or like emotionally intimate together. I remember some moments of them laughing, but they never felt like a couple. And to see our mom be in love was really beautiful and exciting. And I do know that like that formed us in a certain way. And I think they she did a lot of the same stuff you did. You know, they sort of grabbed us each and had us each have some time alone with like the two of them. And we did special things, mostly around eating, because he's Italian cat, like Long Island Italian. We're Jewish. So, you know, it was a lot about eating. But I think it was really special. But it's the same thing of like just watching our mom be happy and getting to be like, we never really were a family, like with my dad, you know, and our dad is great. Our dad is wonderful. And he did his own thing. And he's, we have two dads, like we got very lucky and they get along. Our dads get along very well, but we never got to be a family with my mom and my dad. And so for Ava to get to be a family, even if she didn't understand quite that's where it was going, or that's what it was at the time, kids know, like, and it's unfortunate because we don't want them to know, but they see other dads coming to pick up kids at school and stuff like that. And they understand a lot. So that must have been very validating for her. And I guess I'm curious what their relationship is like now, Ava and Jason.
They are the cutest. And this was another thing, as you were talking, I was thinking about this. I have a stepfather also that's been in my life. I mean, I wasn't young. I was in my 20s, but I'm 47 now. So he is the grandfather to both of my babies. He was in, you know, the room minutes after they were born. Like, he is their grandfather. I had said to Jason when we were dating, and especially as we got more serious and even more so when we got married, it was important to me that he had a separate relationship with Ava. I didn't ever want it to be that she was only comfortable if the three of us were together. I wanted her to have that father figure that didn't replace her father, because she's always going to have a father the rest of her life, but that gave her, again, that other person who just loved her and was on her side and in her corner. And he, I mean, they watch their, they have their shows together. They watch that I won't watch, like Game of Thrones and all those graphic, violent, I can't. So they have those. He took her this year, just the two of them went to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal. Yeah. So like, they have very much have their own relationship. Yeah. They're super sarcastic with each other. They bust each other's balls. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have a really sweet relationship, and they're comfortable. And that was all I could hope for as a mother. My bigger fear was what was going to happen when we had a baby together. Was Ava going to feel like different? Because now there was a baby that came from both of us, right? And she was going to be with me 24 hours a day when Ava had to go to her dad's. So I genuinely, when I got pregnant, viably pregnant, the week we brought Sienna home, I cried every day that week because I thought I fucked up my family. I thought that I was like, oh my God, we just got into this groove, right? Like, she's four, she's impressionable. We got married, then she was six, then she was seven. And then when she was eight, Sienna was born. And I was like, I just fucked everything up. And I really genuinely felt that way. And it messed with me. And it wasn't until we got past that really terrible, the newborn phase is the worst. It is the newborn. We were just, my husband and I were just talking about this, how, you know, we have a couple of friends that are first having babies, and he's like, can you imagine doing that again? I'm like, no, it sounds awful, but I'm so happy for them. You know, like,
by the way, I don't have any kids. I've just watched her do it. And I'm like, I think I'm too old for that. Thank you so much. It's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot. And it's okay if people want to be the fun auntie and uncle and don't want to have kids. Like, I don't think
don't do it. Don't do it.
The newborn phase is absolutely the worst. And I think once we got past that hump and I saw that now we were just creating a new routine and new traditions, there were still times that were challenging because you feel like both kids need you in different ways, but it all works out. And there's no one way to have a family unit. I want both of my kids to know that, because you never know what's going to happen. Nobody goes into a marriage saying, can't wait to get divorced one day and start over. Like, so you just never know.
There's so many ways to build families. And going back to our stepdad, like, with the same thing, we each have our own relationships with him, which is an amazing thing to watch. It's an amazing thing to see Olivia have her own relationship with him. Like, he was the first one that picked up on the idea that Olivia wanted a divorce, like months before Olivia even understood what she was saying. And I think it's so cool, because there's things that I'm interested in that my mom's not and my bio dad's not, but Pat is, you know? And so I get to do that. We get to do those things with Pat. There's things, you know, Olivia's little one, Wyatt, is very, like, athletic, my mom, yeah. my dad's not, my mom's not, like, there's nobody in the family except for our stepdad that is. And so it's like, you get to bring this other person into your child's life that gets to be into Game of Thrones with them. And it's like so exciting for me to think about what Jason and Ava will do. I mean, I went to Billy Joel with my stepfather. Like, we go to diners together. I've already put my list of like food in that he has to bring to the airport when I fly in April. Like, we have our complete, and we always tease him too. Like, he once wrote a card to my mom that said, like, there's nobody else I would pick to be the mother of my stepchildren. and like, whenever she's acting up, we'll be like, you're not even our real mom anyway. Like, why did you pick her? Right. We got her like we have a fake like grandma stepmom name for her. And we got her like mugs that say like world's best Mimi. Cause that's, we joke that like, she's the stepmom and he's our real dad. And we don't understand. We're like, don't worry about the genetics of it all. Like, it's complicated, but yeah, I mean, I think you get to bring this other person in that was chosen from a really healthy, intentional place in your life that enriches theirs.
And that makes a huge difference because, you know, I talk about this a lot. Like, I didn't choose, well, not that I didn't, I choose the person I married the first time who was going to be the father of my child. But that's not really, I was 26 years old. Yeah. I wasn't thinking long term, like, you know, what the gravity of that means. And you're so right.
You don't know
what
it means.
No, when you intentionally choose someone, and because of the attributes they have and the way they treat you and the way you are, it makes for a healthier relationship all around. And I get validation of that all the time from Ava. And as a matter of fact, I know she'll listen to this and she'll be like, I never said that, but I swear to God, she said this. I think it was a few months ago, we were joking about like when she and her sister get married and all this stuff. And she's like, I'm going to need a really wide aisle. And I was like, why? And she's like, because I need you, Dad, and Jason to walk me down the aisle. And I was like, oh my God, like I did something right. I did something.
I did that. I had both my dads walk me down the aisle, not my mom. Yeah.
You're lucky you got invited. That's what I'm hearing.
And I think it's so important that we honor those relationships. And I think that starts from home. Like, I get so upset when I see on Wednesdays, like confession day, on my Instagram account where people will come in and be like, I hate my stepdaughter, or I can't wait for my stepson to go back to his mom's. And I'm not doubting that there are not challenging relationships. And I'm not saying that every time there's a blended family, it's going to work out. Sometimes it just doesn't. And that's reality. But it hurts my heart because to think that anyone would marry someone else who had children that you are now, you should be loving towards in whatever way you can. Yeah. As that level of hatred, I would die.
Here's my thing with that, Rachel. Here's my thing about this. Who are these parents that are bringing people into their children's lives that don't like their children?
I know.
Like, somebody can knock at the door all day. And by the way, for me, if Thomas didn't like Weston and Wyatt and like want to like kind of get to know them, I'd be like, well, I'm not into it. They're my nephews. Like, they're not even my kids. So who are these parents that are opening up the door?
Well, I think it goes back to what Rachel was saying. I think it goes exactly back to what Rachel was saying. When you go into these relationships with intention and the right reasons, you're going to pull somebody in that wants to be there for the right reasons, right? I never judge anybody's situation, but I know a lot of women, right, jump into relationships because they don't want to be alone, right, after their divorce. And then their bar is really low. And I see this too all over, you know, my friendship circles and stuff. I can't imagine not just loving somebody myself, but giving my body to somebody and spending time with somebody that didn't absolutely put my children before me. Right. Like, they have 100%. To come first, no matter what happens. And I don't understand that. It's very hard. And maybe it's because we're Jewish moms, but it's just really hard.
I don't know.
I know. I don't understand it either. I really don't. Because if Jason would have shown any signs whatsoever that he wasn't going to be like all hands on deck. Yeah. And like, I brought up the whole thing about bringing Sienna into the fold and then now blending a family. I was terrified he was going to treat Sienna differently. Never. And we had conversations about it. I was like, I need you to just make a conscious effort to make sure there's no divisiveness. Cause I do think that when you have any kind of divisiveness, then the grandparents pick up on it and maybe they have divisiveness and all that stuff. And so not only did he not ever act in a divisive way, if anyone in his orbit did, he shut it down so quick. And that made me also feel safe and secure and all those things that you need. But I want to say something about being alone. Being alone, after your divorce, whether you choose to do it for a year, a day, six, whatever it is,
yep.
being alone is fucking awesome.
It
okay?
is. Yeah.
Especially when you're coming out of a relationship where you felt so much negativity and you have all these voids. Do you know how much I loved on like a Saturday night when all my friends are like worried about me? Do you want to go to dinner? Can I take mm-hmm. you out? I'm like, leave me alone. I want to be in my bed. Yeah. I want to binge yeah. Real Housewives. Yeah. I want to put on granny panties and I want to like just mm-hmm. do whatever I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then maybe I'll get up and make myself a midnight snack because no one's here. Like just the freedom of not having a child when you're co-parenting and they're with their mm-hmm. other partner, their your other, you know, ex-partner and not having a boyfriend or girlfriend yeah. or anyone. That was the most liberating part, I think, of my post-divorce situation because I really got to sit with it yeah. and spend time with myself and do what I wanted to do. So to anyone yeah. who's like worried, like, oh, I don't want to be alone, I'm telling you right now that if you embrace it, it's one of the best times. I love that time in my life.
Me too.
I really
Me too, Rachel.
Did.
Me too. I mm-hmm. love it. And I know that it's, and this probably is true for you, it led you to where you were supposed to be, right?
Yes.
And I feel the same way. I would rather sit and have my music on and watercolor until 3 o'clock in the morning by myself. It's, I think too, when you come from situations prior, like you and I did, that it was living at home with this person was torture, right?
Torture.
Then you don't take one single second, right, for granted that you have freedom and liberation and get to just sit and do whatever the fuck you want. And that I think does bolster your confidence, right? Like, because I think what you said at the beginning of the episode, I could not agree more with. I would be fine living the rest of my life with my boys and having the life that I have. I have a beautiful life. I have big things coming up my way. If somebody wants to come in and actively add to that level of happiness, mm-hmm. wonderful. But if they're going to do anything else to make my life harder, get the fuck out, right?
But so that's it's like, but that's why I think it works when you look at it from that perspective, because you're not going to date someone and settle and like fit into their lives. You're looking for someone who's going to walk in and right. fit into your life the way they need to. And that's what, when that comes back right. to the intentional dating, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that, you know, our parents' generation is so different. I'm Gen X. My generation is certainly different. We don't stay in marriages. It don't work. We get no. divorced. We date. We get yep. divorced again. Like that. It's just so commonplace. And I think that, you know, finally now, because everyone's being open, talking about these things more, especially with social media, I think it is going to kind of change the landscape even more and not make people feel that they have to have a partner. They have yeah. to be with someone or yeah. whatever it is. But I dated because I wanted to be with someone and yeah. I didn't settle and I didn't sacrifice anything. And I think that for us, it was, like I said, the transparency of it with yeah. every aspect of our relationship. If we are pissed off at each other, there's no playing the games of, no, I'm fine. Everything's fine. No, right. we will get into it. And you know what? There are times where we have, I don't like to fight in front of my kids ever, but I do want my kids to see a real like understanding of marriage. And they don't just see the good parts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jason and I are who we are behind closed doors and in front of our kids. That is who we are. Mm. We don't do anything inappropriate in front of our kids, but they've yeah. definitely seen us be agitated with each other or, you know, argue or whatever. Right. And the reason I think it's important is because both of my kids at different times have said, are you okay? Are you guys in a fight? Blah, blah, blah. And I have to have that conversation. Yeah, we're upset with each other, but you know what? This is part of life. And it's yeah. not about the fight. It's how you rebound from it. And we're going to yeah. make up and we're going to apologize and we're going to say the right things. And then we're going to, everything's okay.
Yeah.
I think kids these days need to see that. They have yeah. this glorified version of things they see on TikTok or yeah. social media mm-hmm. of what marriage looks like and Pinterest yes. boards for weddings and all that stuff. mm-hmm. What the hell does a Pinterest board matter if you're going into a dysfunctional relationship with yes. someone who might be abusive or a narcissist?
Well, put that on a t-shirt, Rachel. There you go. Yeah. yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, nobody is more surprised yeah. that by their parents' divorce than an adult child who has never seen their parents fight in front
yes.
of them.
Yes.
You know, and nobody yep. enters a relationship with less conflict management skills than those people. Like you yes. watch your parents have their conflict, whether you watch it and you do the opposite or whether you watch it and you mirror that, whatever it is, that is what you pick up on. So if you think, oh, relationships are easy, you're not supposed to fight, you're not never supposed to get annoyed with each other or have conflict, I should say. My therapist said, I have to redefine conflict, not fighting, because it doesn't always look like the fighting that I'm used to from my last relationship. Sometimes it's just navigating conflict, and that's not always like loud, and it's okay. because she was like, you do have conflict. You just don't fight. There's a difference between those two things.
And there's a balance. There's a balance. If your kids don't see you struggle, and if your kids don't see you rebound and resolve something.
Oh my gosh.
You know, there's no.
Yeah. And I think, like, to that point too, I think that it can happen in a lot of different relationships. I think Olivia's kids see Olivia and I handle conflict together, and they see us navigate that as siblings, right? And the sibling relationship, as well, you know, is so fundamental to your relationships that you have later in life. So to watch any adults navigate conflict is so vital. Because otherwise you think it's just all supposed to be easy. And then you just, those are the people that throw the towel in without even trying, right? Because it's like, well, we hit one fight and I don't know how to navigate this at all. This isn't what my parents did. I'm done, right?
Well, you know what's, and we know what's interesting about that too. So I'm a child of divorce, even though I was 21 when my parents got divorced, and I saw them fight all the time. And when they got divorced, I was relieved. I was like, oh God, thank God. Yeah, like, I can't anymore. And it's interesting because I grew up in a house where there was fighting and there wasn't necessarily always resolution, but it was very open. Like, there was nothing was swept under the rug. Nothing was like, I saw confrontation. I saw, you know, the aftermath of it. Like, I saw all the different parts of it, some functional, some dysfunctional, but I saw it all. Mm-hmm. My husband grew up in a house where everything swept under the rug, you know, like no conflict, conflict is bad. And I think that when we perpetuate to our kids that conflict isn't something you should engage in, like you said a few minutes ago, they don't learn how to function properly in a lot of relationships. Conflict doesn't necessarily mean fighting. It doesn't mean, it just means like disagreeing on something and figuring out how you're going to find your way back to the same page, the same book, the same sentence, whatever it is, right? I mean, that's how I look at it. So I agree. You raise your kids in a house where you are like, you know, a Stepford wife and everything is perfect and they don't see cracks in the surface and there's no conflict and everything is, you're setting them up for failure, really, is what you're doing.
You're giving them no tools.
What they want. They're not always going to have easy relationships. They're not always going to be right. Yeah. And you have to teach them how to navigate conflict. It's so important. I didn't realize that until Jason and I got married and had such different childhoods. Like, I'm from a big Italian Jewish family.
Yeah.
Everyone knows everything. I mean, literally. I think I got my period when I was a teenager and my aunt called me 2 minutes later and was like, congratulations. Everyone knows everything. Yeah. Jason's family is total opposite. So us trying to navigate meeting somewhere in the middle and like figuring out how we were comfortable raising our kids, that was a whole nother thing too.
Right. Yeah. Well, we've covered literally every topic under the sun. But before we go, I want to just get your advice on something. If somebody's listening and they're kind of like in the situation I am where they're like ready to maybe bring somebody into the fold, what support systems did you use? Like, did you have a therapist? Like, how did you navigate that?
I love therapy. I think that if you are someone who thrives in therapy, it is such a good tool to use when you talk about dating. I know there's like, I've never used them, but I know there's like dating coaches and stuff like that. And so maybe there's some people who would be fine with that. I think that for me, I can only speak from my experience. My support was that I know that I have safe spaces in my family and in my girlfriends. My girlfriends are everything. They have been in my life since kindergarten. Like, literally, I have friends since kindergarten. That's and so nice. I think that because we also, I am who I am with my friends, the same way I am with Jason, right? I'm an open book. I think because I was able to kind of workshop some of this stuff with them, and I also have friends who are divorced. Jason and I think in each of our friend groups have one person who's with their original partner. Everyone else is divorced. So I think because I saw so much of it and was surrounded by it, I wasn't a pariah. It was very easy for me to bring things to my divorced friends who had remarried or not and been like, what do you think of this? Do you think this is a good way to? But I really think, Olivia, that no matter what resources you have, and you guys are an amazing resource. Fresh Starts has tons of resources and experts. Yeah. So I think that's something to be proud of too. But I think that you have to, in the end, trust your gut. And I think as a mother, nobody knows your kids better than you do. And you have to have realistic expectations. It's a big life change. And the older your kids are, the harder it's going to be because they're set in their ways. And they may have been in a nuclear family seeing how things are for a little long, and you're going to have to explain it. I think the best thing you can do is talk to your kids openly about it when you're ready and go at their pace and help them feel comfortable with it and help them feel invested. When Jason and I got married, Ava was a major part of our wedding. She walked me down the aisle. I did not have my stepdad walk me down the aisle. I had her walk me down the aisle because I felt like it was symbolic of our union, right? She came up when the rabbi was marrying us and did vows with us. So like we had her very much be part of the process. And the same thing when we, when I got pregnant with Sienna, she helped us with, you know, putting stuff in the nursery. I think when you involve your kids in appropriate ways in the next phase of your life and they feel invested, I think it makes it much easier.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Well, Rachel, I just want to validate for a second, like your honesty and your authenticity is just so important in this world. Like keep doing you, because every time I talk to you, it like brings tears to my eyes. Cause it's like, I just, you're a very special person and I hope that you know that. Oh, and I know you put a lot of time and energy. No, of course. Into like, you know, the work that you do to make this a safe space for a lot of people. And, you know, I think that I assume the person that you are with Jason and your friends is the same person that you are in the world. And you give people permission to be themselves. And I think that that's just really important. So we appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys. And I think that you guys are doing similar stuff too, because you're talking about something that a lot of people are uncomfortable talking about. And you do it in a way where you celebrate it instead of making people feel shame. Like it's a next chapter. It's something to be excited about. It's something to you put the past behind you and you put all that bullshit behind you and you move on in a very positive way, knowing that there may or may not be struggles along the way. So I appreciate you guys and everything you're doing. And I appreciate that we're able to connect with each other. We would have never met in real life, right? So imagine with social media, being able to bring people together who can become part of each other's support system is pretty special too. So I appreciate you guys as well.
Well, you're saying that I could go meet somebody that I'll have an amazing sex life with, and I'm good to go, Rachel. So if Jason knows anybody, just send him my way. I'll do long distance. I will do long distance. I really will. That'd be perfect for me right now. So
listen, my mother married her middle school sweetheart. They met on Classmates after they were both divorced. See? Okay. Classmates.com. Mm-hmm. And he lived in New York still when they first got together. And she was like, honestly, that was some of the most fun part of our relationship because it was like a vacation every time we got together. So don't be so quick to
I'm going to, no, you'll be my yenta.
She's really happy to do long distance. I think she saw me doing it. And it's like, it gives you a lot of time and space. You know, Thomas and I were apart for like the better part of 2 years. And so it gives you like, you can go do all these things, but still have this person that loves you and that's there for you. It's a good thing.
Come on, Rachel, go find him. Go find him. okay. Well, thank you for everything. And where can people find you before we let you go?
Sure. So wineandcheeseits.com is my website. Wine with an H, obviously. And then I'm pretty much Wine and Cheez-Its on Instagram, Facebook, everywhere you can find me. On TikTok, I'm rachel.sobel.writes. Getting more comfortable with your name. With TikTok. It's a little young for me, but I'm doing my best. And my daughter cringes at almost everything. But Instagram is probably my most active community.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much, Rachel. Thank you for listening to today's story. We're always here, and we're so proud of you.
A Fresh Story is produced by Fresh Starts Registry, the first and only platform for everything you need to begin again. You can read the show notes and learn more about today's episode at afreshstory.com.